We're increasing our coverage on the internet in many ways, and at the same time looking to increase in every way the work of God, ministry that God's called us into here locally, which is an exciting thing to be able to get in on, just to know that God wants to use us, and He does. And that is such a privilege to know we're being called and invited to do a work that God wants to get done. Because He doesn't have to have us. He doesn't need us, but we need God. And I believe that the blessings that are about to come to this church are the result of the fact that some of us are still here. And we don't really need to be worried or take it personal if some are not here anymore. It's their problem, and they're alive. It's not the end of the story. And I'm not talking about just church attendance when I say here. I'm talking about here as being saved, here as being full of the joy of God. They left the joy and the peace they once had to follow after turmoil and strife and worry and doubt and fear. And that's not a very good change, you know, to make. When you come out of darkness to light, and then you go back to darkness, you never forget the light. And so the hope that they have is not so much as us running after them or trying to get them to come back. The hope they have, that, and the hope that we have, that things will get better for them, is the fact that they once tasted, and you never get past the memory of that taste of the goodness of God. Amen. But what we have to do is turn loose of the past and move to the future and accept the present for what it is. And right now we have a now God. Right now God. And I'm here right now. I'm not here yesterday. I was, but I'm not now. And I'm not living in tomorrow. So what we do at this moment will make a difference in what happens in the future. Amen. And what we could do that we may not do will have an effect. It could be an effect that would cause things to not be as they could be if we would just let God be God in our lives. I was really thrilled just before church. I just sat down to my computer and I was working on something, and I just put in Google the word Christian. And I wrote Bible, and just to see what came up. And it came up on a website, just popped up in my face, to define how to become a Christian. And I started reading it, and it said, go to Acts 2:37. And the question is asked, what shall we do? And this was a real professional. I mean, it's not somebody's Pentecostal website or anything like that. This is like a Google search to find the answers, like a Wikipedia type thing that came up. And the reason I believe that this happened is because of the fact that God is getting through to some people on the planet Earth. And I believe the internet has a lot to do with this, because the way these search engines work, they go through the entire... They go through just about every digit that's ever been on the internet in their search for what the population of the world thinks about this word. And for that to come out, I was expecting something else. I really was. I was expecting just accept Christ as your Savior and believe in your heart and have a profession of faith. But for it to come out that how you become a Christian is to go to Acts 2:37 and read that question and do what it says in Acts 2:38. The reason I went and got my little tablet here, I was trying to look it up again and I can't find it, but when I hit Google and I wrote Christian and And I hit Google. That came up. And so I'll see if it still does it when I go back there. But I know it's there. And my little computer that I brought out here has a rebellious spirit in it. And that's just one thing. But it's getting easier and easier. I believe the back of the devil has been broken when it comes to being able to get the doctrine truth out. There is a faction of Pentecostal and apostolic people, and I say those words not to talk about any particular denomination or any particular group, but I'm saying Pentecostal and apostolic as a category where people who usually are represented by Jesus' name baptism and the one God teaching of the apostles, they usually are found under the category of apostolic or Pentecostal. The fact that this is happening exposes the fact that somebody's being used of God out there. But at the same time, there are many who have been preaching these things for years who I don't want to be identified with. My experience has been in the last few years pretty much being a pioneer in the apostolic movement on the internet, because it's taken a while for a lot of my brothers and sisters to think they might want to check it out if it works. I've seen so many times when I had to fight off mean-spirited people who believe this. And it's difficult not to try to get mean-spirited with them and join them in their mean spirits, because what I'm now seeing as a mean spirit is something that I was a part of for a long time. The truth was right. The fact that it's there is there, but there are people that seemingly, if they get a position of any kind, it goes to their heads. And we spent a lot of years here in this church on various programs trying to get help. And people came running, but they did more harm than good. We would deal with people all night long, sometimes all week long, every night, all night long, several of us here and in other places around the world when the internet was young, helping people to come to their senses and not kill themselves before daylight and those kinds of things. And that went on over and over. And then we would get helpers to come who we believed would help us, and they would come in and mess it all up. When you've been working with somebody who's on the verge of suicide, and you tell them there's hope in Jesus, and they're coming from a world where everything's gone wrong, and they don't find any hope except just to end it all, and you've been working on that for several days, and you go to get help, and they come in and say, "Has this person been baptized in Jesus' name yet?" And they're not part of the building up from almost losing them to death a few days ago. Now we're at a point where they're starting to see hope. There may be something, because I'm feeling loved by these people. And as they feel loved by these people, then when you invite somebody that has been preaching and you've known for years to come in and help you with them, and then they destroy everything you've done. I'm not here to criticize my brothers and sisters around the world. I'm just here to say it like it is, that there is a better way than the way we've been doing it. And then at the same time, I'm discovering that a lot of people who believe the truth are on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and LinkedIn and a lot of others I could mention, and on YouTube. And they spend all their time on the internet playing games and flirting and trying to find boyfriends and girlfriends and just playing games, gossiping, spilling all their guts out about something that happened to them, like it's a little piece of email. When it's going to be out there, as long as they live, everything they write will be out there that can be brought out to the whole world to see again. If you ever want to do anything where you don't want some of the things that you write on Facebook to be known, don't write it on Facebook. That's not email. This is public words that'll never go away. They're recorded And they're out there. If they're ever needed, they can be recalled, and you can't stop it. We may be small, but we got it right. We may have what seems to be funny ideas to some, but the Word of God seems to be strange to those who have thought that they had a corner on the truth in many cases. And I go to these people, and I find that the ones I needed to help me are needing help themselves. I'm 69 years old. I don't have time to train everybody. All I know to do is just do what I'm going to do with God's help. And I need your help. Need your help, because I want to see the vision that God's given, that I know God can bring forth. I want it brought forth without anybody hindering it. All my life, I have been gullible, because I just figure people think like I do. Even since I've been in Norwich, I had so many people come here want to help me, and all they had was they had a motive. They wanted to take our dream and twist it into what they'd like to have for themselves. They wanted to take charge of you and wanted me to move down the road because they can't do what I can do. And what little bit I started, they thought they could just take that and run with it now because I don't need it, they need it. Even here locally, people come in here and they just get started, and somebody that thinks they know a lot about God will meet them at the door and indoctrinate them into something that's not even true at all, get them all confused. You don't have to be confused to come to God. This is really simple. And what I want to reiterate and remind us of tonight and recall to something that makes me happy to think about is all we have to present to the entire human race is something called, I care about you. If people know that somebody cares with no agenda, people will respond with sincere hearts. It might take a little while for them to be convinced because everybody seems to have an agenda. It might take a little while because everybody's got something up their sleeve. That's what the whole world seems to think. There's something behind this. Why are you smiling? Why are you happy? Why are you writing to me? Why are you trying? But, hey, in 20 years of internet, somehow the message has come out now that you can Google it, and one of the top definitions of Christian is you have been baptized in Jesus' name and got the Holy Ghost. That wasn't like that when the internet started. I believe that has something to do with it. And it wasn't like that when we were going to all these big conferences talking about what God has to have us, and He couldn't do this work around the world unless He does it through us, because we're about the only ones that have this. So, and I've heard them say over and over, thank God for us, because if it wasn't for us, God couldn't do it. That's not true. Let me just say, it's exciting to know that the God that was still is, and the truth that's out there is still the truth. And there are so many people teaching real good things today. I just want to remind us what we're trying to do. We're trying to take an individual, no matter where they're coming from, no matter who they are, where they've been, what they've done, and genuinely accept them right now to be somebody we want to know, and somebody we want to care about, and somebody we want to love, and somebody we want to be a part of everything we do. We want their kids to be right out here in the open, not hidden in some back room. We're not afraid for them to cry. We're not afraid, and we're not worried about them. We want them to get out here because they'll be exposed to what it is to be in church. Even if they sleep through every service for a while, we want them out here. So there'll come a time when they'll be up here testifying. You hide them away, they'll slip away. They won't get the experience of being part of the testimonies or being part of the knowing that somebody cares about people. And if we were a fighting group of people, if we were divided amongst ourselves, I think it'd be a good idea to keep the kids in the back room somewhere. But we're a church that does not allow that to happen. And I think I've got enough people in here to back me that if anybody starts a ruckus, we can take care of it. Some of them are bigger than I am and stronger than I am. And some of them not even saved. And they've already told me they'd take care of it if I need their help. But it's not about me. It's not about you individually. But God calls people. It was one little conversation with one man and Jesus that resulted in so many things that affected millions of people. And it was just this little conversation. Who do you say that I am? And the answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And look what that conversation resulted in. The next words, this came from God, not man, and upon this rock I will build my church. One little conversation resulted in the plan of salvation in Acts 2:38, and millions of people finding God through the power of the Holy Ghost for centuries and centuries and centuries. And God still says to all of us, love one another. Let love be without dissimulation, without pretense. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Now let's just hang ourselves up on this scripture for a moment. John 3:16. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. It's easy for us people who do know the truth to say, yeah, they shouldn't perish because they need to obey Acts 2:38. But let's just back off from that just a moment. Not that we're backing off from the truth, but back off from the attitude that gets all crusty and hard and loses its feeling of a sensitivity for mankind. Because we're not dealing with just our community anymore. We're dealing with an entire world. We're dealing with a world where 2 billion cell phone users can find the truth in a push of a button. We're dealing with 2 billion plus people with in their hands the ability to tune in to us right now. Just with the cell phones only. And then billions of computers where they can tune in right now. And all of them can tune in at the same time and not lose a single bit of quality. We've come a long ways in a short amount of time. Now from this point on, everything that has been done to bring us to this point is still the beginning of greater things beyond anything you ever even imagined in the communication systems of the world. We're in the horse and buggy part of it. So in my lifetime, I expect to see a worldwide mighty move of God and for us to be right in the middle of it all. And I hope none of you get discouraged with the fact that you get discouraged along the way. Because remember, you're a human being. So don't get down on yourself when you don't understand what's happening and you don't know what's going on when somebody is being nice to others. Because that's almost unheard of in the world we live in anymore. When somebody from this church is being kind to somebody that doesn't believe this way. Because John 3:16 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I don't think that the responsibility of not perishing is as much on the individual who stumbles in the door or happens to come onto the internet. I don't think that a major part of the responsibility is on them. They did their part when they started believing. Now that puts a responsibility on the people who know what they need to know to be able to find a way to get through to them in a way that it can be received, because God still has conversations through people to people. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's people working with people. That's the way God operates. He could do it all by Himself, but that's not His choice. And since it's not His choice, then we need to find out what it is that God wants. And when we find out what it is, He wants us to do his work for him. He wants you to be his legs, his hands, his voice. But he doesn't want us to misrepresent him. Somebody needs to feel like they're loved by Jesus Christ himself as we reach for their souls and for their hearts. If you have to get the glory, if I have to get some kind of credit out of it, I'm messing things up. This is not my kingdom, not your kingdom. So if we can just keep on holding to this that we know and teach it to others without arguing with them. But if we happen to find others that want to be argumentative, then let's take them out of the circle that we're operating in so they won't mess up a lot of people that we're trying to work with. And we have ways to do that on the internet. We also have ways to do it here. We started this up years ago, and that's one reason why some of us are still here. We started it up when somebody comes in new, and maybe the next week another new one comes, and that new one that came last week came with some kind of agenda. You can always mark it down the following week after somebody new comes in that may be a little bit, you know, charismatic or have a little bit of experience but not the full truth. You can almost mark it down 100% of the time. A week later, when somebody new comes in, that's who they're going to go to. And so we started years ago saying, be prepared. And when you see that happening, surround them and listen. Listen to the conversations. Intercept if you have to, because we want to keep some people that come. We almost have to set ourselves up as spies in order to keep some people. Because there's so many people who are used to having motives and agendas, and they'll come in. They don't know that this is happening to them. It's the devil that's using them. They don't realize it. They think it's God. They think they're hearing from God. They think this has to be God because it's one I've always listened to. It's the very one I was listening to when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Well, that Christ as their personal Savior may not be the real Christ. And so when it comes in and starts snatching people who are sincerely coming to see, is this really what I'm looking for? They don't know that Sister so-and-so that just came last week is now the devil's property, ready to destroy them before they get started. And the devil's property doesn't know that that devil that's being manifested doesn't know but what that's God using that individual to help them to be rescued from this Jesus name doctrine that we got here. So we're up against a little bit of a challenge. But it's no reason to throw in the towel. Hallelujah. Because what I see in Pentecost and in the apostolic movement is a falling away. While the world is falling apart, the Jesus name people are dying. When I went to general conferences just a few years ago, 30, 35,000 people in attendance. And now they brag about 7,000 that show up. That was a big number. It's going down, down, down. They use excuses. It's the economy. A bad economy when I was a kid when they were having 20, 25,000 people then. It's not the economy. It's a falling away. And I tell you what, I'm surprising a lot of people because when they see that we're still preaching Acts 2:38, although they preached it for years, and we still believe in holiness and the old time way, my brother Rutledge, what a mighty work we're doing in Norwich is their attitude. What a wonderful, it's like it's unusual, it's unheard of. They remember the old times. They remember how it used to be when they found God. And many of them that are talking to us are saying, I'm not living for God today, we're not in church at all. God wants to use you people to raise up a worldwide church that really is a universal church. He doesn't need a big bunch of people in some system with thousands of people to do this work. All he needs is Jesus Christ and two or three committed people ready to go. If he can take Peter and do what he did upon one conversation and start building what he built up to now, he can surely take a little Norwich Tabernacle group and evangelize the entire population of earth. He can do it. If he can't, why are we even talking about this?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm hearing it again. Upon this rock I will build my church. What rock is that? The revelation of who God is. The revelation of who the Christ is. Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, and knowing who God is and how He fits into the equation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Knowing how to explain it without offending those who are sincere. Knowing how to say, we do believe in the Father just exactly as Jesus teaches the Father to be. We do believe in the Son. We do believe in the Holy Ghost. There's no division in this group about that. There was no division about that in the Bible times. You can read all through the Bible. There is no controversy in the Bible between the difference of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ. There is no divided argument in the Bible. There is no conflict. Hallelujah. So, if whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, and then now they have believed on Him, and it says, he that cometh to God must believe, and must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, then it seems to me that we've been given an assignment. And that's to take hold of the hands of a believer and teach them what it means to diligently seek Him. Because so many people are accepting the fact that now they believe and so they're all set. Then others are saying, that's not good enough, so we want to tell you what you got to do. And if you can't take it, get out. But somewhere between those two extremes, God wants to raise up a people for the cause of the church of the living God. And time is running out. Christians are being beheaded. People are being shot, buried alive, burned. It's almost like you read in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. People in many places professing Jesus Christ, even children, refusing to deny Jesus, knowing that they're about to be killed, saying, I will not deny Jesus. And they're killed on the spot. Happening every day right now. We are within reach of these people who are about to die. And there seems to be such a lack of concern because it's on the other side of the world. I can't get anybody that wants to help. They're too busy playing games and gossiping. You may not think you're a very big church, but you might be an important group. Because it doesn't take a whole lot of people to stir up a whole lot of stuff. Hallelujah. Look what 12 apostles did. 12 disciples walked with Jesus 3 years and turned the world upside down. And it's still being turned upside down. Because no matter what religion gets started, no matter what people believe, it's all coming back to Acts 2:38. It's all coming back to who Jesus is. It's all coming back to the revelation. All churches are wanting more information. All people who are sincerely wanting God are wanting to know, what shall we do? And in these troubled times, the more pressure that's on the population, the more people are having to deny Christ or die, more are going to say, I want to know the real truth for sure. I mean, don't you want to know if you're about to die and there's a gun sticking on your head or in your mouth? Don't you want to know for sure that what you've got to stand for is right? I mean, if this Christian thing that we're experiencing in this world, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, if what we have is not real for sure, then why don't we go ahead and compromise and say, yes, I deny this. At least you get to live long enough to repent. If you don't know that you're right, why die for what's possibly maybe not right? But if you do know it's right, then go ahead and die for it. Used to be really fervent. It used to be really strong. It used to be exciting to go to church. People shouted and danced and yelled hallelujah. And it brought the attention of the community and people came gathering around to see what it's all about. And they got in there and some of them came to criticize and they sat back to just watch.
But something got a hold of them. Next thing they knew, they were down at the front shouting hallelujah. And snot running out their nose, tears running down their faces. And old thugs of the community were waving their hands. People they thought would never get saved, never would even enter a church. And they're speaking in tongues. When I was a child, that was happening. We were seeing this. It was just wild talk of the community. Who would have ever thought old John would go to church and look at him now carrying a Bible and praising God, and that's all he talked about, Jesus. But now we got so many convenient things to keep our attention. And you know what? We brainwash ourselves. The church has been accused of brainwashing people. But it seems now that people are brainwashing the church. It's like we were once young and we knew what it was to have all these peer pressures, and we knew what it was to kind of argue and fight amongst ourselves to try to be accepted by one group or another. And then we had our little group of friends and we were against them, they were against us. That has entered into the human race so much, it's as if it's normal to be against everybody, or to have enemies, or to have division and argue and fuss and fight. But God's way is still love, peace, harmony, joy, caring about one another, and looking for the best. So, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's not just your little world, you're four and no more at your house, but He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son on the cross, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, without writing it as a statement of faith, my open statement of faith is, I want to work with these people who believe. With the wisdom of God that we need to pray and make sure we've got. And give them a voice. And give them a platform. And give them a place to where they can say, I thank God that I was such a sinner. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is my personal Savior. And now I just want to know what He'd have me to do next. This is not a new religion. This is not a new idea. Jesus started by going about in His earthly ministry doing good things for people who were even unbelievers. People in the field. People at the riverside, people at the seashore, people at the marketplace. I mean, one of the first things that caught the attention of many was just when he was a child. There was a need for more wine at a wedding. They ran out. And the governor of the wedding, he would have been very unhappy if they didn't have enough wine for everybody. And Jesus was just a child. And he never had really shown the power that God had in him like he would be showing it. And they ran out of wine. And so Mary said they have no wine and told the servants, whatever he says, do to it. She put the pressure on Jesus to go ahead and start performing miracles now, because she knew that in him was the power to make a change, make a difference. Because some things had been revealed to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she knew that what she had in her home and what was present at that wedding had the power to do anything. She knew that, even if it was her son. Isn't it amazing? The son of Mary, later Mary becomes the daughter of the son. Understand what I'm saying? He was son of Mary. But later, at Pentecost, when Mary was in the upper room, she became a child of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Son, they have no wine. Servants, whatever he says do, do it. And then Jesus said, fill the vessels with water. Huh? He wants wine, not water. They didn't say that, or it's not recorded they said that, but they did what he said do. Because he said, whatever he says do, do it. So he said, fill the water pots with water. So they went and filled them with water. Now what? Bear it to the governor. Here they go. Somewhere on the way from putting the water in the pots to the governor, the servants knew. Can you imagine being one of those servants carrying that big old heavy pot of water? And just because a little 12-year-old boy says, fill the water pots with water, when the governor's wanting wine, here they are carrying this big old water pot, and suddenly it turns to wine. Man, it's a wonder they didn't spill all that stuff right there on the spot. Because what would have happened if they'd just given all these pots of water to the governor? It had to be a thing of really believing that what this one knows about Jesus is really what I need to do, even though I don't understand it. And this is what we're going to be doing in the future. We're going to be used of God to be somebody like in the place of Mary. And when we tell them what to do, they're going to grab a hold of it, not knowing what they've got. But somewhere, because we will love them into this thing, and they will be convinced that we've got a hold of something they need, without a bad attitude or a mean-spirited way of operating, they're going to be coming to the feast of God in the wedding ceremony that's greater than any wedding ceremony, bringing the information that they have that they don't understand. And suddenly, while they're coming, they're going to see a change in their lives. Because the governor of this feast is Jesus Christ Himself. And he's saying, we need more wine here. It's new wine I'm talking about now. It's something greater than the wine that governor had. This is something to make you act like you're drunk when you're not. And you won't have a hangover the next day. Amen. So, out there somewhere, even right now, and in the future when they hear these words on many, many new outlets that are being formed right now as I speak, somebody's going to ask the question, what is this that goes past believing, because that's all I've ever done. And I'm having a lot of difficulty, but I do believe on the Lord, and I believe He's my Savior, and I believe I'm a Christian. In fact, I've been told I'm going to heaven, but I don't know more than what I've been told. And here comes along somebody that's on Facebook or on Twitter or an email or somewhere saying, there is more information for you. It needs to be somebody that can go from that point and still lead them rather than destroying them. Most of what I see in the church movement that I'm familiar with around the world, 300 or so organizations, most of what I see, unfortunately, is a bunch of vultures who are ready to kill the baby before it comes out of the nest. Maybe you don't understand that, or maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you don't get out much. But I do. And I've been places. And I've been raised in Pentecost. I'm not downing the Pentecostals. I'm not against anybody. But most of what I'm running into at this time in my life is, my brothers and my sisters don't understand why we love people. So I don't think God called me to convert them. I'll let somebody else take care of them. But God's got a harvest out here that they don't want to fool with. And in this town, there's a harvest here that none of these churches want people. They don't want the ones who are sick and wounded and heartbroken and lonely and don't have money where they can support their church. And they don't want the drunks and the prostitutes and the pimps and the drug pushers and the thugs out here running up and down these. The city doesn't want them. The churches don't want them. They say we love everybody. When they go, they get a cold shoulder. They want somebody that they can get money out of and somebody that will support their cause. And what happens? The whole population pretty much is stranded because the churches don't care. The city doesn't care. The government doesn't care. Nobody cares. Everybody's just out to hurt somebody and use somebody for their own cause. It's very difficult to believe that actually a real group of people could stand up in the middle of it all saying, we care about you, and this is truth. This is real.
We will have to do as the Bible says, be the violent that take it by force. But that force will be disguised as meek as a lamb, harmless as a dove. But there's power in love. There's more power in the love of God than there is in all the hatred of the world combined. There's more power and ability in your life to win people all the way to the full truth in love than there is in the knowledge of Acts 2:38. Because if you've obeyed Acts 2:38 and you've repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and got the Holy Ghost, they will follow you to the end of the world and want what you've got. And they don't even ever have to hear the words, Acts 2:38. When they get ready to get baptized, they'll be baptized in Jesus' name. And they'll wonder why there was ever an issue with it anyhow, because all they know is they believed, and they went from that point because of love to accepting the fact that somebody's real, somebody cares, somebody wants to help me in this world, and I'm not out here all by myself. I'm finding it easier and easier to talk to preachers who've been preaching for years and pastors without having to debate, without having to argue. But the bottom line of what I'm saying is, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Should not. We're laborers together with Him. But most of the work is what Jesus has done and is doing. So what is our place? Be with Jesus. Be sensitive to Jesus. Listen to Him. Be a mouthpiece for Jesus. Be hands reaching out for Jesus, with Jesus. Let them reach out as He reaches them out. Go to the places where Jesus leads us. Say the words that Jesus prompts us to say. Be ready at any moment for the cause of Christ to be used of God. So the next person you meet out there on the street, you don't need to have to go have a prayer meeting before you know what to say. Stay prayed up. Or pray through. And then stay prayed up. Pray and meet the day. Meet the day knowing there's probably going to be somebody today that's going to need me to be here for God. Lord, here I am. When the opportunity comes, let me be wise. Let me be true. Let me be pure. Let me be holy. If there's anything wrong in my life, clear it out right now. Let me be what You want me to be, because many lives may depend on one conversation. Just one conversation. Look at everybody, every individual, as somebody really important. No matter how many times they've betrayed you or failed you, and no matter even if they believe what you believe and they're mean-spirited, or they don't know anything about what you believe, all they know is they believe there's a God. And when they started believing that there was a difference in their life, it changed. That was the water changing into wine. You don't have to wait till the Holy Ghost to know there's been a change. You just start bearing the vessel. You just start coming to the place where wine is being called for, but all you got is water. Because you believe the one that told you, do what He says. Whatever He says, do it. Because we're talking about Jesus, who can change crooked places into straight places. Change a sick person into a well person, and a troubled mind into a peaceful mind, and change anything that's bad to something that's good in just a moment's time. So we started, I believe I'm going to carry what I know to Jesus. That's all I know. I believe and I accept Him as my Savior. And here I come, Jesus. I'm coming to heaven. This is all I know. There are people in Iran and Afghanistan and Iraq who need us. And they can tune in on us. And we need interpreters. We need some Iraqis in this ministry with us. And there are many that know the truth. And they're people with good spirits. I know some of them. They've got the Holy Ghost. There's a church right in the heart of Baghdad filled with Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled people who speak English. We can band together. They're not mean-spirited. I tell you, when you're in a place like that, you make sure you're right in every area. You don't take chances when you're in the middle of Baghdad, Jesus' name, baptized full of the Holy Ghost. You find Jesus to really be your personal Savior. And those are people we can work with. There are people in Germany and there are people in Cuba. Doors are opening in Cuba. I dreamed about Cuba 20 years ago. God is sending me to Cuba. I'm going to be there in person preaching this gospel. He told me that 20 years ago. I don't agree with all the reasons why it's happening right now, but no matter whether it's good or bad or whether I like it or don't like it, everything good or bad that happens in the world is another open opportunity for us to take the good that comes from the bad or the good and know that this whole world is going to go down fast and realize that we got something to lift people out of the mess they get in, and we don't have to depend on mean-spirited people to get this done. Just let love be and take on the responsibility. They should not perish since they believe. They shouldn't perish. Whosoever believeth should not perish. For God so loved the world. The church doesn't seem to, but God does. God so loved the world that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whose responsibility is that? That's God and His people's responsibility. They don't know what to do next. What do you do? Whatever He says do, do it. Well, how are they going to know if they don't have a preacher or have a voice or somebody to tell them? You need to be the Mary, the mother of Jesus at this point. You need to be somebody called of God, somebody that knows something about having Jesus at your house. Somebody knows about being able to call on Jesus anytime and He's right there in the household. Doing little things for you, big things for you, running here and there for you, answering your prayers, going here, doing this, doing that. Jesus, have you ever noticed you call on Jesus? He's always there. That's how it was at Mary's house, too. Hey, Jesus, come here a minute. Yeah, Mom, here I am. I want you to turn some water into wine. Church, where are you? Here we are, Lord. I'm here with you, too, so let's do a work today. There are people in Iraq that need your services. Turn the internet on. And at the same time, there are people down the street, right up here, on Central Avenue, that need a call. You call them, hit the button, and go down and visit these people. When you get back, tell these people in Afghanistan, and also I'll have some more in Baghdad, you need to talk to them. Hook them up with Jesus. Get them started on the way. Tell them to take this water I'm giving you, and I'll turn it into wine. Okay, Jesus. Boy, isn't it exciting? This is so simple. New York City is not hard to win. Boston is not difficult to get through to, because God's called us to be not just a little local assembly, but to be messengers of God to falling apart people of a falling apart world in a time when the Christians that should be doing it are saying, we're too busy. Lord God, this is not just a prayer that I'm saying, but I'm praying to you at this moment when the world is in trouble, and many have given up. The only church they know of is the one they remember back when, and it died, in their opinion, and will never get it back. I'm asking you, God, to let back when be right now, and let this be a new beginning for us, and a new beginning for a church that you're bringing together, a worldwide church. Let the new internet ministry, Lord God, that's being formed by the hand of God as you use my hands. I'm doing things I didn't know I could do because you're doing it. Let it have its effect as we yield and become humble, more humble than we knew we could. Bring us down to the level of your feet so we can hold on to you and worship you and praise you. And Lord, as we start to stand up, make sure that you're standing us up and you stand with us so that when we represent the cause of God to those around us and those in other places, that we don't get caught up in the cares of the world, but our care will be the care of what Christ has in the Word of God for the people of the world. As we develop the WorldNet Church with a thrust forward beyond anything we've ever done, a dream that only could have come from God, I'm asking you, Lord, to let us, while we're reaching for the entire world and for billions of souls, daily active doing these things with help from people in many countries, that you will fill this city with truth
and revival and fill these churches with Holy Ghost renewing power. All these denominations, let them come to the revelation around us. And let us help them fill their churches full of truth speaking, Holy Ghost believing saints. And if their pastors can't handle it, move them out and move somebody in that can handle it. Or save them so that they'll be part of the move of God and be willing to really give their lives for the cause of Christ. I'm asking you, Lord, that your will be done in it, not our will. Whatever it takes for us to go through it, help us to go through it, become stronger. We lose things, get things, gain things, don't have things, get confused about things. Put all of our trust and confidence in you. And as we reach out to find finances here and there, let us reach out in the way that you direct us to reach out. If it be your will, let us do it. If it's not your will, stop us from what we reach to do. And then equip us as we follow you completely. And take us to where we can do the most good. Show us the place. Show us the plan just as much as we need to know so we can know our place. And those of us that feel the call of God, use us in a mighty way. Those of us that can't handle it, keep them and make them stronger until they can handle it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.